Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the New York studios and the Quicken Loan studios. Live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. So glad you're with us. Good Wednesday to you. Big show coming up for you today. We'll talk about the future of college football. Yesterday, we talked a lot about Pete Thamel's piece in Yahoo Sports, quoting power brokers in college football that were fatalistic about the potential of college football this fall. We'll talk to Pete about his story coming up here on the show. Pete Thamel's going to join us. One of the best college football and basketball insiders in the country is going to join us, hour number four. Also, what is the coverage going to look like when games are finally back, but no fans are going to be in the stands? We've got a little dose of that from some international soccer. We've got a little dose of that in how ESPN's handling MLS's tournament. But what are the big boys going to look like in terms of the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball? We'll discuss with sports media columnist for the Boston Globe, Chad Finn, coming up in hour number three. Also, on Wednesdays, it's Mothership at the Movies, where we go inside yet another great classic sports film and pick it apart from a sports standpoint. This morning, Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall in the 1990 classic Days of Thunder, centering around Cole Trickle, young hotshot driver on NASCAR circuit. So we'll do part one coming up next hour, part two of Mothership at the Movies in hour number three. So a lot to get to this morning on the show that we are jamming into these next 4 hours, plus NBA narcs in the Orlando bubble. Is America primed to finally wake up to Mike Trout's greatness should he play this summer? And Lamar Jackson with a refreshing attitude going into season number three. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can follow me and tweet at me as well, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. But let's begin with some NFL news, where former number one overall pick Myles Garrett is nearing an agreement with the Cleveland Browns for the largest contract for a defensive player in league history. Reportedly, it is a five-year, $125 million extension. In terms of average annual value, you will hear this phrase, AAV, it actually surpasses the deal given to Khalil Mack. Mack got 141 over 6 years. Garrett's getting 125 over five. So Garrett's $25 million per year deal here is actually the 13th highest in football. The 12 players ahead of him are all quarterbacks. So this means Myles Garrett is going to be paid more than Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, or DeMarcus Lawrence. So the question is, Myles Garrett has had a very ugly incident. Myles Garrett, toward the end of last year, was suspended for the rest of the season, basically, for swinging his helmet and hitting on the head Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph, taking Rudolph's helmet. So when you have a situation like that, an ugly incident like that, and then the Browns double down and invest all of this money in Myles Garrett, the question is, will Garrett end up being a good investment? It is where we begin your cold open.
The Mason Rudolph helmet swinging thing, that's a disaster. It can't happen again. If I'm Cleveland, what I'm trying to do with this contract, and I would, without source guessing or without, questioning any reports about a potential Myles Garrett deal, I would say that if it's being floated way in advance of the actual deal being done, that Myles Garrett is going to be the highest paid defensive player of the year, then he's probably not going to be the highest paid defensive player of the year. And when you split it by a certain amount of metrics, you know, it's $25 million in new money, which is great. That's what we're being told like 24 hours before the actual deal is going to be signed. I would bet that this ends up being a little bit more team friendly than we're being led to believe right now, just because that's sort of how this always plays out. That makes sense too, because if you're Myles Garrett, you did just have that suspension. You do have the on-field issue that happened with the helmet swinging. You're going to probably take a little bit more team-friendly structure to sign a deal now coming off that suspension than you would, you know, rather than gambling on yourself in 2020 and what you might do. I would also assume there's some sort of clauses in there about swinging helmets at quarterbacks in the future and on-field behavior, suspensions, et cetera. But I have no qualms whatsoever. I agree with BMAC 100%. As far as the player goes, it's a no-brainer. Myles Garrett's a budding superstar, probably going to be my preseason defensive player of the year pick in 2020.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
NFL writer Will Brinson for CBS Sports HQ. So there's a couple of things to unpack here. Number one, Myles Garrett was playing really well up until the helmet swinging incident last year. And that was a really ugly moment. But from a football standpoint, Myles Garrett was having yet another really good season. He's had three full seasons in the NFL. The first one was relatively shortened. The next two, he had double-digit sacks. He did make one Pro Bowl out of those 3 years, and last year was doing really well before the helmet-swinging incident. Do I think that the helmet-swinging incident should define him? No. It's a really ugly, really terrible moment. But Myles Garrett, by and large, has been a guy that franchise has trusted on and off the field. A thoughtful guy, a smart guy, a guy that writes poetry, a guy that has always seemed to understand that life isn't just football. And so investing in somebody like that and not having to worry about them becoming a different player, or them getting money and then taking the easy way out, or them just using that money to go off and do crazy things. You don't have to worry about that, I wouldn't think, with Myles Garrett, despite the helmet swinging incident. And again, that incident is a really ugly black mark on his career. My question is Myles Garrett a budding superstar, as Will just mentioned there? I think he's good. At times he's great. But he's not Aaron Donald. He's just not. He's not the best defensive player in football. Again, there are times that he can wreck a backfield, but he's also not Khalil Mack. And so I would put those two guys ahead of Myles Garrett. And if I'm the Browns, I'd like to see this trajectory absolutely continue instead of wondering, okay, are we sure that that was or this is who Garrett is going to be? I think what you have here, though, for the Browns, and this is something you do have to factor in, so I'm going to give the Browns a break here. Even though Myles Garrett's not Aaron Donald, even though he'll probably never be Aaron Donald, and maybe that's an unfair barometer to put up there because maybe nobody's going to be Aaron Donald in this era. Perhaps Donald's just going to be this kind of dynamite Hall of Famer and the greatest that does it of this era, so you can't compare the other guys. That's a pretty high bar. But I think that even if he's not as destructive as a Khalil Mack or as dominant as Aaron Donald, I think this. I think the Browns want to make sure they have strong pieces, dependable pieces, wrapped up and under contract. And this is where I understand what the Browns are going to do here. They're saying, we need more solutions and less problems. And the solution is definitely having Myles Garrett part of this roster long term. We can count on that. We've already invested a number one pick overall in him. He's the best player on our defense. We think he's ascending. We haven't had enough Myles Garretts in our years, in our franchise's recent history. We've had a lot of problems, a lot of holes, a lot of busts. So are we paying for Myles Garrett's greatness? Maybe not. Are we paying for Myles Garrett's stability, consistency, being very good, and being an answer? In other words, if we have a lot of Myles Garretts locked up, we don't have to worry. We need the Myles Garretts. We can't let those guys walk. I think that's really a big part of this for the Browns. They've been a mess. They've been an absolute mess. Do I think that Myles Garrett's the best defensive player in football? No. Do I think he'll ever get there? Maybe, but maybe not. I'm not convinced of it. But I do think that kind of like the next quarterback that comes up and you go, well, should he be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? It's just the timing of the contract, but that the Browns franchise can't afford to not have him around, so they got to lock him in because he's part of the solution when they've had a lot of problems for a number of years. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Whereas when you saw the news of Myles Garrett perhaps being the highest paid defensive player in football and the highest paid player outside of a quarterback, did you ask yourself, man, that's a lot of cash for Myles Garrett? Or were you like, you know what, good move, Browns?
I think it's good move, Browns. Now, I do think it's a little bad optics publicly to pay Myles Garrett and reward him before we've seen him step foot on a football field again following that incident. That being said, look, the Browns last year became the flavor of the month, right? Everybody wanted to be a Cleveland Brown. So Odell Beckham was there. Baker Mayfield was riding the high of his rookie year. Jarvis Landry, etc. And they had a disappointing season. So now they come into this year. I mean, obviously the world has more important things to worry about than Cleveland Browns hype. But there's not as much focus on the Cleveland Browns. And I think for the Browns, this could go one of two ways this year. Either Odell Beckham continues to talk and sink and Baker Mayfield continues to decline, or they get that good mojo going that they expected to have last year. And part of establishing that good mojo, I think, is taking care of your own and taking care of your own investment in Myles Garrett. It is good optics to NFL players to see that an organization that has been so dysfunctional is taking care of their own, even when the playoffs and everything haven't followed suit with the investment of Myles Garrett. So I think the Browns are, this is a good move as far as creating positive momentum and a positive outlook on their organization and on their team that they will take care of you and they are serious if you perform well enough for them that you could be here for a long time and they want to be a stable, good organization.
Yeah, I think Wouldn't you say best case scenario is you let Myles Garrett prove this upcoming season that he's still ascending, that he can be a star? You see how he responds, as you said, after the incident. That's best case scenario. But if you don't have the benefit of time and you're worried that maybe he continues to price upwards, that you kind of lock him in, it's almost a... it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think you'd prefer to wait another year, but maybe you can't afford to do so.
Right, right. I mean, obviously, I think that the Patrick Mahomes deal personally sent shockwaves at every position, not just quarterback, from the standpoint of, you know, guys are going to say and look at Mahomes, get all that money and all that. Now, quarterbacks are a different deal, I understand, but that there is no more cap per position as far as I'm concerned. If you feel you are the best, you will find one of these 32 teams to pay you an extreme amount of money to make you feel wanted and make you feel like you are the best at that position. I do think that's somewhat of a ripple effect of Mahomes. And if you're the Browns, why even play those games? Because if Garrett comes out and has 18 sacks this year, 19 sacks this year, then you're in a different stratosphere. Take care of it now.
So Myles Garrett ends up becoming, if they do end up signing on the dotted line, we'll see when this actually gets finalized, the highest paid defensive player in football. You would agree he's not Aaron Donald, he's not Khalil Mack. Is he a top five defensive player in the NFL?
I'd have to think about top five, but is Myles Garrett a top 12 defensive player in football? I think he is. And I think
top 12's a lot different than a top three or five.
But that's not the same as saying you're a top 12 quarterback compared to a top three or five. There's a lot of positions on defense. So I think he's a top five pass rusher. I do.
Yeah, okay, so that's because he's not as dominant at his position as, say, Stephon Gilmore is at his.
Right. Or even a Jalen Ramsey. I would still probably rather have Jalen Ramsey as much as he comes with all the baggage at corner. You know, defense is obviously we're looking all over the place, but as far as a guy getting after the quarterback, a pass rusher in the NFL, I think Myles Garrett is a top five pass rusher in the NFL. I absolutely believe that.
Do you think he is going to trend upward and continue to get better? Can he ever become the best or second best pass rusher in football?
I think he can if the team is good. I think if Myles Garrett, what he's produced on a football field, statistically being a force in and out, snap in, snap out, I think that goes way more noticed if the Cleveland Browns are a playoff team and the other pieces are executing. If Baker Mayfield becomes an MVP candidate and the offense is scoring points and Myles Garrett continues to do what he does, I think public perception on Myles Garrett would change a little bit and there would be more of a highlight on him going, wow, that's a damn good player. That might be the best defensive player in football. I think it's about how the team performs. I think when you're the Browns and you go 0-16 and you go 7-9 and Myles Garrett is doing what he's doing, you're not going to consider him the best defensive player in football. Aaron Donald made a Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yep, you need to play in big games. You need to play in playoff games. You need to have the nation watching when things matter. And then if you do big things, then it's a totally different beast. I mean, this it's kind of the thing where we watch great players defensively like Lawrence Taylor, like Deion Sanders. When those guys had great plays in enormous games, playoff games, Super Bowls, etc., then is when you really notice, oh, those are next-level type of superstars on defense.
D.A., you just mentioned Stephon Gilmore. Was he being talked about as one of the best defensive players of football when he's a Buffalo Bill, or now because we see him in the big games with the Patriots?
Well, I think it might be two-pronged. I think you're right. It might be because we play or we see them playing a lot of big games. I think also it's possible Belichick was able to get him to a next level of greatness.
That's fair. That's fair.
But no doubt, playing in enormous playoff games and Super Bowls puts a totally different spotlight on you than if you're not making the postseason in Buffalo.
Right, and look at the Browns spotlight. They played in a national TV game. He swung a helmet, and that's what people remember him for because that's when they were in the spotlight, and that's the incident that happened.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Who knows what the attention is? It would still be ugly if that happened in a 1 o'clock game against Jacksonville, but the fact that it happened on national TV when the world was watching, we spent all day Friday talking about it because it happened on a Thursday night, was a different type of attention. When we come back here on the DA Show, we've got your best audio of the day. That includes Cam Newton on what it's going to be like to replace Tom Brady and Kawhi on whether this year's NBA champion gets an asterisk. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you, everybody. DA here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show is available to watch every day. Watch the simulcast at watchda.com. That's available on any device, anytime, anywhere on your phone or your tablet, your home PC, your desktop, your laptop, or your smart TV. WatchDA.com. We begin with Kawhi Leonard, who was asked, does this year's NBA Finals champ deserve an asterisk?
It's just like an offseason, pretty much. You know, you usually have 3 months and then come in for a training camp, have a couple practices, then you got the preseason games, and, you know, that's pretty much the mindset. You take it for what it is. You know, everybody's happy that, you know, a championship will be crowned this year. And if that's the 2020 championship, then, you know, we won it. So, you know, that's how I look at it. This is what the layout is, and it's for us to go out there and, you know, complete this journey.
So let me just pick this apart historically here. We've had other shortened seasons before. In 1987, Washington wins the Super Bowl. It's only a 15-game regular season, and three of those games are played with replacement players. We don't have an asterisk on Washington's Doug Williams-led Super Bowl. In 1981, we have two halves of a baseball season. They do not equal 160 games. In fact, I don't believe every team played the same amount of games in 81. The Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series. We don't have an asterisk on that. In 1999, the NBA plays 50 games. The Spurs beat the Knicks in the NBA Finals. We don't hang an asterisk around Tim Duncan's neck and David Robinson and Greg Popovich for the 99 title. So I don't believe this year deserves an asterisk any more than those do, even though this year's actually way more bizarre than those other seasons as well, because for baseball, it's a 60-game season, which is 37% of the regular season. Even though there's no fans in attendance, even though teams perhaps could forfeit games, which didn't happen in 81, even though it's not replacement players like the NFL in 87, it still has such a cloud of weirdness. So I don't think we should hang an asterisk on any of these champions, including the NBA. But in terms of how different this one will be, it'll be far more different than any of the other ones could possibly be. So it's a little bit of both pots here. I don't think they deserve an asterisk because it's going to be so weird. It's going to take a lot to win this championship. It might be the hardest championship to win, but it'll also be the weirdest championship. Far more bizarre than any of the other scenarios. We continue on Soundcheck with Cam Newton, who, via Odell Beckham's YouTube page, discusses what it's going to be like to replace Tom Brady, the living legend.
We have to talk about the elephant in the room, and it's like, you know you who you coming after. And I'm like, yeah, great. Yeah. What he was, what he is, it's great. Needs no even talking about it. But one thing about it, though, you, Coach McDaniels, you able to call some stuff that you ain't never been able to call now. All right, you know, and I told, hey, you getting a dog. You getting one of these ticked off dogs, yeah, too, that's like, bro. And I'm looking at the schedule, I'm like, who we play? That team passed on me. Okay, that team passed on me. They could have game and got me. They hollered at me. I even asked my agents, like, hey, yo, so what's up with? Nah, man, the agent act like he was like, well, we got to wait till it was this all type of, you know, issues. So I'm like, bro, you know what? I'm going to take this time with the COVID. I said, I'm going to commit to myself.
Okay. So I love the enthusiasm from Cam. Cam is just naturally a really compelling speaker. He's very animated. He's very charismatic. And so you want to kind of be drawn into what he is saying. He's saying, hey, Josh McDaniels can run some plays he didn't have with Tom Brady, and that is fair because, of course, Cam is far more mobile than Tom Brady. At the same time, Cam's body's got to stay together. It feels like it's been duct taped the last couple of years. So being able to call new plays and running plays, what have you, you can't get him hit. You can't get him injured because he's been so injured anyway over the last couple of years. So I don't know just how different it's going to be in terms of Cam running around a whole lot. But at the end of the day, it's really hard to watch that video and not laugh because of how Cam is dressed.
You're getting a dog.
Cam has this ridiculous oversized hat. Cam has the little Mr. Peanut glasses. Cam has this huge flamboyant scarf. And he's sitting around a table. And I'm like, I want to listen to Cam. I want to be enthralled with Cam. Cam's, what he's saying is really interesting, but he's just looking utterly insane and ridiculous. Because he looks like it was Mr. Peanut going to an art show or Mr. Peanut doing a fashion line in Milan. I'm like, this is just hard for me to totally take seriously here.
Cameron Newton.
The great Cameron Newton. And finally, here is Tiki as part of the Tiki and Tierney show here on CBS Sports Radio on what might be a controversial take. He would take Kirk Cousins over Dak Prescott.
I'm taking Kirk Cousins over Dak Prescott right now. That's literally the conversation we're having. If you're saying Drew Brees or even, I don't know, Cam Newton or whoever, my answer would probably be different. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins versus Dak Prescott. That's the only thing that matters. I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins in a tangential, you know, conversation whether
but
or not
that
he
matters.
Can win, whether or not okay, he can win you, a Super Bowl. I don't know if Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl right now. I really don't. Because down the stretch last year, and I'll restate it again, they laid egg after egg after egg. It was pathetic that they lost that division. The Eagles won it at 8-8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe they were 9-7. Who knows what
no,
they were.
No, they weren't. I thought they were 8-8.
I can't right. remember what it was. But either way, they limped to the finish and didn't make the postseason. Yep. And that's just unacceptable for a guy who's trying to make $35 million a year.
Heidly ho, neighborinos.
So I'm glad Tiki said that. They did lay egg after egg after egg in those big games. And down the stretch, they had so many chances to win that division and just couldn't do so. And then the game against the Philadelphia Eagles, week 16, another debacle, another disaster. So he's right. Last year's Cowboys offense, when it mattered, was brutal. And Dak needs to take a lot of responsibility for that. But would I take Kirk Cousins over Dak? Ooh, that's your sound check. I can't say that. Look, I think Dak's got growing to do. I put a lot of responsibility at the feet of Dak for last year's Cowboys failures. But Kirk Cousins just feels like the ceiling is so obvious. And that Dak, when it has mattered in some previous seasons, previous playoff games, has risen to the occasion. And for Kirk, I mean, he had a big road win in New Orleans wild card weekend. But isn't that his limit? Isn't that Kirk Cousins at his best winning a wild card game on the road? I mean, I don't know, Mraz. I got questions about Dak, but I don't think I can right now choose Kirk Cousins to lead me farther than Dak Prescott.
Kirk.
And you can't,
Cousins.
You cannot. Under any circumstance, I don't care if you're a borderline Hall of Fame running back that knows the game way better than a fat slob that sits on his couch like myself.
That's right.
You cannot, under any circumstance, reference Dak laying egg after egg and then point to why that Kirk Cousins is better. Yes, Kirk Cousins finally shined and played well in New Orleans and won a playoff game. You know what Kirk Cousins did the following week? He completely laid an egg versus a 49er defense. And if you want to tell me Dak Prescott wouldn't have been competitive with that defense either, well, I do remember even in a playoff loss the year before, Dak Prescott going up and down the field against the Rams, the same team that Tom Brady and the Patriots in a Super Bowl won, but struggled to score points against. Kirk Cousins had an opportunity to win and get the Washington Redskins in a playoff scenario in Week 17 versus a team in the New York Giants in 2016 that was resting all of its starters. And instead, he threw not one, not two, but at least three, if not four interceptions, and completely blew up the game. This is a guy who, before he got to Minnesota, his ceiling was, if the NFC East comes back to a 9-win division winner, I might be able to get my team in there. He signed all this guaranteed money for Minnesota, and what has it shown so far? One wild card win. They're not even playing in the one or two seeds, getting byes where you feel confident in them in a top seed. Kirk Cousins is the ultimate egg layer. He might as well be nicknamed the Rooster.
Oh, no, no, you didn't.
This is Mraz with the CBS Sports Minute. Yes.
No, you didn't.
What do you mean? I can't end with a nice tagline?
Mraz.
I mean, you're doing minutes on Eddie. I can't give you a rooster line?
Mraz, roosters don't lay eggs.
What do you mean they don't lay eggs? Time out. We have the rooster is like a chicken. The chickens, the roosters, the turkeys, they all lay eggs. How do you think they produce? They're not giving birth.
Roosters.
Have you ever seen a rooster go to a hospital and give birth?
Roosters are male chickens.
So what's a hen? A hen's a female chicken?
That's right.
So we have chickens that label, but within the chickens we have roosters and we have hens, and only the hens can lay eggs and the roosters supply the eggs?
Yeah, well, you know how, like, girls make babies and boys don't?
Right. Okay. I did not realize a rooster and a hen were different genders of chickens. I just thought they were different types of chickens. I thought you could have a male chicken and a female chicken. Like, you could have a male rooster and a female rooster. Come on. How am I supposed to know that? It was a nice little curve.
Come on, man.
I had.
Come on. Come on, because you know what?
It was a nice Kirk Cousins take and a good rooster line. And
it was a good Kirk Cousins take. It was a good Kirk Cousins take. It really was. And yet, I can give you a pass on Portuguese being spoken in Brazil. I maybe can give you a pass for not knowing anything that happened in the centuries, the 15th, the 16th, or 17th hundreds. But what I can't let you get away with is, how am I supposed to know roosters don't lay eggs? Everybody listening right now knows that roosters do not lay eggs.
Hey, what do you think? I've been tilling the land on a farm my whole life. I go to Stop and Shop and I buy a dozen. Do you think I read it and go, oh, this came from a hen, this couldn't have come from a rooster?
Well,
in
let me
what
ask you.
Realm or stratosphere am I supposed to know that?
Let me ask you this, in terms of just this amazing ability to push away responsibility. How do you think Bogish, myself, and Pete the Body know that roosters don't lay eggs? We haven't tilled any land.
I have a feeling that either Bogish or Bilotti didn't know that, and now it is too late. And now it is too late for them to admit that.
We're already doing this at 6:38 Eastern.
You know what we definitely did know, too, D.A., you missed this. I don't know if you were brought up to speed, but we had a discovery along these same lines while you were out where Sean didn't know that rabbits could nurse their baby rabbits. They just thought that they foraged for food and gave them to the babies. That only cows could be milked. We discovered that recently. So, again, Farmer
this
is Sean
even
is
more
not
egregious.
Really good at his job.
This is even more egregious. This is today's poll question. Did you know roosters don't lay eggs? Did you know that roosters can't lay eggs? That's today's poll question.
This is going to be like a cable news poll question. It's going to be totally swayed. Nobody's going to admit they didn't know now.
Reagan Mondale.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd be surprised if this is 98-2%. I'd be surprised if 2% of people didn't know this.
All right. So let me just end with this. Kirk Cousins is an egg layer. He's the ultimate hen.
That's fine. It's really cheesy, but okay. But okay, fine. At least it is factually correct.
Okay. All right. See? All right. We're back.
We're also 39 minutes into the show. We have our epic fail all locked up and another 12 DAs of Christmas.
And a buffoon.
And a year of the buffoon.
Boy,
I mean, the
crown.
Year of the buffoon is almost its own show at this point, not a segment.
Mean, seriously.
Or at least an hour.
Five-part special.
I am actually... Yeah, I'm just taking that day off of work, and we're just going to run the year of the buffoon.
Take the week off.
For 4 hours.
This is our Christmas show. We're all off on Christmas, and instead of a live show, you'll get 4 hours of buffoon. Just like Jesus wanted.
Amen.
Merry buffoon, everybody. Here's your radio show.
Here's some eggnog.
All right. AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogish Kind, sir. What do we got?
Well, we've got headlines proudly sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Boblio.
So we're about 9.5 hours away from the NFL's deadline for franchise tag players to sign extensions. Nothing is happening with Dak Prescott unless someone blinks before 3 Central. NFL Network says the last offer on the table guaranteed the QB more than $100 million, but the length of the deal apparently remains the issue. The tag would pay Dak just over $31 million for the coming season. Titans running back Derrick Henry isn't getting an extension either, but the Chiefs are paying D-tackle Chris Jones 4 years and as much as $85 million. And the Browns, that we just discussed, are paying Myles Garrett. Coupled to the 2 years left on his rookie contract, Garrett could reportedly make $144 million over the next 7 seasons. James Harden is now in Orlando, but the Rockets have not said yet why he was 5 days late. Harden and Russell Westbrook stayed behind when the team left for Orlando last week. We now know that Westbrook tested positive for COVID-19. So has Nets forward Michael Beasley. That is brand new Nets forward Michael Beasley, one of the players they signed because Spencer Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan, and Torian Prince all tested positive back at home. Beasley has apparently left the bubble, and it's unclear if he will return. Tiger Woods is back this week, the Memorial in Ohio, his first tournament in 5 months, and he'll play, of course, without fans. Tiger said yesterday the closest experience he can remember is one round with an empty course after a strong storm damaged the area the night before.
It was, you know, hazardous in the morning, and we went out there with no spectators, no volunteers, and just played. And that was the quietest round I've ever been involved in a tournament setting.
Tiger will play tomorrow and Friday with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka. Mets ace Jacob DeGrom left yesterday's intra-squad game after one inning with back stiffness. The Twins are calling center fielder Byron Buxton day-to-day with a left midfoot sprain. The Braves reportedly signing outfielder Yasiel Puig, and 11 umpires have reportedly opted out of working this shortened season. At MLS last night at Disney, the Philadelphia Union with a 2-1 win over Inter Miami after Orlando beat NYCFC 3-1. Orlando and Philly clinching spots in the knockout stage. DA, back to you.
I can't stop laughing. Especially from some of the tweets that are coming in. Rob tweets, no more Mr. 1110, that's for sure. Rob tweets, DA, instead of Mraz wanting to go to the nudist colony, can you please arrange a field trip to a farm to have him get schooled on roosters and hens? Hashtag for the love of God. Glenn tweets, that's a 12 DA of Christmas right here. Roosters? Shrimp tweets a gif of a hen with what appears to be a mug of coffee waving its hand and tweets, with this new date in Mothership history, it's Mraz. Yes, we will absolutely be playing that again. And Kyle tweets, explaining how human anatomy works. Wow, what a morning for DA. Roosters don't lay eggs with 17 crying emojis.
So... Pop goes the weasel.
And Kaplan in our G-chat has sent, and I should have remembered this, Frank Costanza going over the rooster hen chicken bit.
Yeah.
Not Seinfeld.
We're
going
to have to play that audio this morning. Call Kirk Cousins the rooster because he keeps laying eggs.
I thought it was such a good line.
It's the height of stupidity.
Producer on this program.
It's like staring into the chasm of stupidity and shouting down, letting it echo throughout. Let's call Kirk Cousins the rooster. This guy can't stop laying eggs. Like every rooster turns around and is like, bleep you, man. We don't lay eggs. Can get a load of this idiot. The chickens and the roosters are looking at this morass. Get a load of this idiot. He thinks the roosters lay eggs. When we come back, we've got this date in mothership history. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
On this date, our first year doing the overnights on CBS Sports Radio, there was a challenge. The gauntlet was thrown. Meraz versus tacos. William is next up in Harrisburg, PA. He's listening to 95.3. Hey, Will.
All right. Well, you know that I've gotten the epic fail for the tacos.
Right.
I'm going to lay down an epic challenge to Meraz.
All right.
2 minutes, one taco box, which consists of 12 tacos. 2 minutes. Whoever can get the most down or all of them down in the least amount of time wins.
Well, I'm gonna throw something out to you that we threw out to a previous listener who wanted to challenge Meraz to some type of eating contest. If you can do this, videotape it and send it to us. We'll post it on our Twitter and our Facebook. And if you legitimately do this, then we'll have Meraz try to equal the accomplishment.
I already have my buddy that's ready to do the video recording and everything, so everything's set. You will have that clip in a matter of a week.
All right, so I'm looking at you getting 12 tacos in 2 minutes, you said?
Yes, 12 tacos in 2 minutes, or as many as you can get. If you have to bail out in a minute and a half and you've eaten 10 tacos, well, you ate 10 tacos in a minute and a half.
Nah, I think you got to do all 12. I think that's the thing. It can't be, oh, all right, I did 7. Now Meraz has to eat 7 tacos. We're not just going to have Meraz out as, you know, some show pony here, just eating all this type of stuff. You know, oh, well, I ate 5 slices of pizza. Now Meraz has to eat 5 slices of pizza. No. On July 15th, 2013, Meraz had not been referred to as the, quote, show pony. That was the first time in show history that that moniker had popped up. And so we have to credit Will in Harrisburg for leading us down the conversation to reference Meraz as the, quote, show pony. But he ended up really owning that, and that's become a moniker for now 7 years. Kenny Brock always liked calling Meraz the show pony. Take the show pony out for a trot. That was a favorite of Kenny Brock of the Wheels of Steel. That is this date in mothership history. Couple of things to let you know about. How about O'Reilly Auto Parts? Because they've got the Ask the Pros question of the day today. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, and ask your question, preferably about roosters, eggs, and the difference between chickens, roosters, and hens. Be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. And our toll-free line to talk about the difference between roosters and hens, 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. The best part about Meraz calling Kirk Cousins the rooster because he lays so many eggs is that, damn it, he was so proud of that one. He's like, I just nailed this. This is my big moment. I'm going to end this thing with a flourish. Kirk Cousins came up small. You can't trust Kirk Cousins. The farthest that he's gotten was a wild card win. He got smoked by the Niners in the divisional round. He threw 4 interceptions in a must-win game against the Giants in Week 17. On and on and on and on it went. And then he's like, he's laid so many eggs, you might as well call Kirk Cousins the rooster. And every animal in the animal kingdom turns around and says, what the hell did that guy just say? When we come back here on the DA Show, we continue on a wonderful, wacky Wednesday morning aboard the mothership.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.